Jesus is walking through Jericho, passing through on one of his final stops before his grand entrance into Jerusalem. By this point in his ministry, the crowds are bigger than they've ever been before. Jesus is surrounded on all sides. He's being touched by strangers. People are yelling his name from every direction. And he's walking through these crowded streets. And as he's doing so, he takes a moment to look up. Maybe he's soaking in the beautiful sky that day, or trying to feel less claustrophobic in the crowd. Or maybe he was looking for the people who weren't right in front of him. The people who, for some reason or another, were pushed to the back of the crowd. Because if we know anything about Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, the people in the back are often his target audience. When Jesus takes this moment to look up, when he lifts his gaze, he finds a man in a tree named Zacchaeus. And he doesn't so much as look at Zacchaeus before inviting himself to this man's home. He calls him by name and says, "Hurry, come down, we're going to eat and chill at your house today." Which is wild, because Jesus doesn't know a single thing about this man. He doesn't know he's a tax collector. He doesn't know why or how he ended up in a tree of all places. All Jesus knows when he meets the eyes of Zacchaeus is that he's not in the front, but that this man wanted, yearned, was eager enough to see Jesus that he climbed a tree. And that's reason enough for Jesus to want to eat with him, be close to him, get to know him. When Jesus looks up from the crowd, he sees a man on the outside, on the edges of a community. And Jesus makes the first move to bring him back in. Unsurprisingly, the crowd is very unhappy with this. They followed the gaze of Jesus to the tree and grumbled when they saw who Jesus had found there. They grumbled because their tactics of keeping out this tax collector, this sinner, didn't work. They grumbled because this short little man found a way to be tall. They grumbled because Zacchaeus found a way to be seen and noticed by Jesus. As if Zacchaeus hadn't caused them enough pain already, as if he hadn't betrayed the Jewish community by becoming a tax collector, as if he hadn't taken enough from them. Now he's taking away Jesus? So as the crowds have done time and time again in Luke, in every other city and town where Jesus has been, they grumble at their God in flesh. Sure, they've heard stories of this Jesus before, but now they were seeing it with their own eyes. And they couldn't believe Jesus had the audacity to hang out with Zacchaeus, someone seen as a traitor, as a hopeless Jew, someone the community had deemed unworthy and undeserving of Jesus's love and attention. Now, I'm sure the crowd's grumbling was far from silent. It might have been under their breath, but you know when people are talking about you. You know when the glares are in your direction. You know when you're being judged and looked down upon and are unwanted as part of a group. Zacchaeus knew all of this too. He heard it. He felt it. When he climbs down the tree and heads towards Jesus, he can feel the anger of the crowd around him. He can hear the mumbling, the groaning. It's not new to him. He's dealt with it for years, but it still doesn't make it any less terrifying. I'm sure he's mortified as he walks through that mob of people who don't like him, towards Jesus. I'm sure excitement and hope are the only things keeping his feet moving forward. And when he finally reaches his rabbi, when he makes it to the center, the heart of the grumbling crowd, he immediately tries to prove that he's good enough, worthy enough. He pleads his case to Jesus, that he gives half of his possessions to the poor, that if he ever defrauds anyone or gets their taxes wrong, he pays them back four times as much. Zacchaeus stands there, surrounded by a crowd of prosecutors and a biased jury who's against him, and begs Jesus to see that he's not the label they've put on him. He's not his job that everyone judges him for. He's not the wealth that he's accumulated. He's just a man who earnestly, eagerly longs to know who Jesus is, because he has a hunch that Jesus has something good to say to him. Zacchaeus is pleading, begging for Jesus to see him, who he really is. Not the sinning, evil, despised man everyone says he is. But Jesus didn't need him to stand trial on his goodness. Zacchaeus didn't need to prove he was worthy enough or had done enough good deeds. Because to Jesus, Zacchaeus is already part of the family. And not because of anything that Zacchaeus has done, but because he's a son of Abraham. He's Jewish. He shares blood with Jesus. So against all the wishes of the crowd, in the middle of groans and eye rolls and glares, Jesus proclaims that nothing about Zacchaeus, not his job, not his actions, not what people think or say about him, none of it can take away God claiming him as one of God's own. Because the Son of Man has come to bring back into the fold those who the crowd has forced out to the edges. The God in flesh has come to freely offer salvation to those who've been told they have to earn it. Jesus has come to make it clearer than ever that there is no one who is too unworthy to be loved by God. No one. Even you. In the very back of the crowd, who is climbing trees in hopes of getting a glimpse of this Jesus, even you will be found by God and invited to have a seat around the table, because you are a part of the family. You belong here. And the crowd, the world, it might try and tell you a different story. Heck, your own community, your own neighbors might try and tell you a different story. A story that you're not good enough or worthy enough. A story that you've done too much harm to be redeemable. A story that you aren't deserving of God's love and forgiveness. But that's not the story Jesus tells. Jesus finds you in the back of the crowd when no one is in your corner and you feel completely alone, when you're trying your best and it's still not good enough, when you are longing to be seen and known and loved. Jesus finds you there and says, salvation is yours. Forgiveness, it's yours. Belonging, it's yours. Grace upon grace is yours. not because you've earned it or done the right things, but because you're already part of God's family. And no crowd can kick you out of that. Amen.